among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that's cause for worship. God loves us, and God has come to save us through and in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. So I'm glad that you've come so that we can worship him together. Also, just want to remind you, our Mardi Gras event is getting ever so close. We use the funds raised to provide scholarships at the Bree School. And so if you want to get tickets to go to the event, we'll be available at that back table. Also, even if you don't go, we have the raffle, $3,500 trip for whoever wins the raffle. So be aware of that, but I hope you make plans to join us at our Mardi Gras event. If anybody is going to be attending the Inquirer's class that's in the bulletin on Wednesday, please make sure you RSVP the church office so that we know you are coming. And then, Debbie?
I'm back. I'm actually only got 2 more weeks in the boot, so I'm going to be a whole person before too long. Half a mind, but a whole person. So good to see you here today. And I have a couple of announcements. If you are in grades 3, 4, or 5, the East Texas Children's Chorus is registering students Tuesday in the Fellowship Hall between 5:30 and 6:30. It's $25, which includes your polo. Also, we'll be doing Disney Spectacular for the spring. It's an 11-week course taught by 2 retired music teachers, choir directors, of which I'm one, and we have a lot of fun. There was 22 in it last spring, and we hope to match that again this fall. Last fall, and we hope to match that this spring. I'll get it right. So, also, singing seniors, we are coming up in April on our one-year anniversary. Yay. And we will be doing some extra special things. If you would love to sing, we meet in Pinecrest over there. And this next month, we're going to meet the very first Tuesday of the month to prepare Valentine's songs to take to the Salvation Army Daycare Center for Adults to sing for them. You do not have to be a good musician. You don't even have to be on pitch. Several aren't.
That means but just I could do it.
In fact, pastor should be a charter member of the Can't Find Pitch. But anyway, we would love to have you be a part of it. Just having you there, my husband comes every single time, and he just sings when he can, and if he doesn't figure it out, he doesn't sing. You are more than welcome to be a part of that. And thank you for letting me talk as long as I talked.
Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate that. Because we have peace with God, let's extend that peace to one another. If you will, stand, turn to those that are sitting near you and far away from you. Welcome them with the peace and fellowship of Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
For God has led us to this hour, to God we lift our souls.
The good news of Jesus Christ is great news.
We should shout it from the mountaintop.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us
to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free.
Let the whole world know God gives us reason to rejoice, and let us pray. God, we do rejoice because we do not have to go through this life alone, and nor do we have to live the life of faith in our own strength and in our own power, but we have you here with us today. We have your Spirit who desires to fill our hearts and to empower our lives so that we can joyfully follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we worship you this day, help us to follow him in paths of ministry so that we can continue what you started so long ago, bringing good news to those in great need. So be present as we declare your praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's express our praise in singing, if you will. Please grab your hymnal. It's hymn 307. Let's stand and sing Fight the Good Fight, hymn number 307.
Confessing our sin not only reminds us we are in need of God's help, but it is also a reminder that our God forgives and therefore is a God of grace. This is reflected in 1 John, where we are told, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." But the good news is, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. With this in mind, let us approach the throne of grace and together confess our sins using the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Wonderful and awesome God, forgive us for living as if your good news was not so great. Forgive us for those times when we could have announced your blessings to the world and kept them to ourselves. We want to share with those we like and love, but forgive us for those times when we walked away. Forgive us, loving God, that we do not excel in everything you call us to do. Grant us grace to touch those who frighten us, to carry the bread of life to the hungry, to offer the blessings of the kingdom to everyone we meet. Amen.
Children of God, hear and receive the good news announced in Ephesians, that God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All that is to say, thanks be to Jesus Christ, your sins are indeed forgiven. Know this, receive this, and be at peace. And because God has forgiven us and raised us up to be seated with Christ, let's express our joy and praise as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Seated. When John the Baptist was preaching to the people and announcing God's grace, the crowd wisely asked him, "How do we respond to this grace of God?" And his answer was interesting. He said, "If you have two tunics, give one to the person that has none. And if you have food and there is someone that is hungry, give to the one who has not." His advice was to take those blessings we have and put them in action towards those in need, because he knew it would announce God's love by our deeds. This is a moment not just about money. It's a moment about stewardship. Willing to offer our time, our talent, or whatever we have to God's service. If you feel that you have been blessed by God and wish to return a portion for the use in his ministry, feel free to do so, knowing that God does love a cheerful giver.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you asking for forgiveness and grace. We bring to you this offering to be used for the work of this church in hopes of reaching those that so desperately need you in their lives. We ask that you use us every day to spread the good news of your love. Thank you for all you have done for us and to help us in the coming days to use our talents to spread the word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated unless you're one of our young ones. I know we got Ryan already up here, but does anybody else want to join him? Y'all come up here, and thanks for coming up, y'all. It's good to see you again. Before I read to you, I'm going to share a real quick Bible story, but before I do, I want to just talk to you about something you may or may not already know. This is my left hand. And what do you see on it? A ring. You know, it's pretty shiny, isn't it? It's an expensive ring. It's a very nice ring. Do you know why I wear it? You're on a roll. Why do I wear it? Do you know what it is? What kind of ring?
It's a marriage ring.
A marriage ring. Yes, a wedding ring. When people get married, what they do is they give each other often a ring. They put it on their left hand and they put it on what's called the ring finger. But do you know why we wear the wedding ring? To show that we love each other. Absolutely. Every time people get married, what they do is they make promises to keep loving each other. They make this promise to love and to cherish and to do it no matter what, whether it be in sickness or in health, whether it's for richer or poorer, for better or even for worse. They're going to keep loving one another. That's the promise they make one another on their wedding day. Love is often sacrificial. Love often requires a lot of work. Love is also very fun and enjoyable. It's to be protected and nurtured and grown because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I wear this all the time. It doesn't matter if I'm working out in the yard. It doesn't matter if I'm exercising at the gym, which I haven't been to in a long time. It doesn't matter where I am. I wear this ring. And when I look at it, it's to remind me, I promised my wife that I would love her. And you know, God makes promises to us. And he also gives us a sign so that we know that. And I want to read to you from Luke's gospel. Jesus is it a place of worship? It could be a place like we're in now, but everybody gathered to worship. And when he was there, they asked him to read one of the scriptures in the Bible. And so he got up and he read from the passage of Isaiah. And this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. See, God loves us, and he made this promise to set us free, to save us. But after Jesus read that scripture of this wonderful thing that God promised, listen to what happened. He rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant. He sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were upon him, and he said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, the scripture that God promised long ago is being fulfilled. You know what that meant? God didn't give the people a ring. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He was the one sent by God to let us know what God promised is going to happen. What God said is going to be fulfilled. And a lot of people believed him and followed him after that. And they found out that he was the one sent by God to save the people. My hope for you is you'll remember God sent you Jesus Christ. And if you follow him, you'll know he saves. If you follow him, you'll know he heals. If you follow him, you'll know that he can set you free from those things that try to keep us down. Question I have for you today. If you know and believe God loves you, will you follow the sign, or better yet, the Son that he sent, Jesus Christ? And I want to ask you all that too. Let's pray and ask Jesus to be the Lord of our lives and the Lord of our hearts. Let's pray. God, thank you for these young children. I know you created them in love and put them here on this earth for a reason. And I just pray that their hearts would be filled with the love you want to pour into them. And that feeling the joy of your presence and your love, they would, by faith, follow Jesus Christ wherever it is he leads them, because they know with great hope and joy that he is the way. And Lord, I pray that for everybody in our pews this day, that we would be able to follow Jesus Christ and know him as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up, and let me tell you about my ring and God's promises being kept. Y'all can return to your seats. Y'all give them a round of applause for being bold enough to come forward. If you will, let's stand and sing our next hymn. It's If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. It's hymn 282. Let's stand and sing If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee.
In a moment, we will read Psalm 19 responsively. I will read a verse and then you read the next. Please turn now to page 498 in your pew Bible. In this psalm, we are told how creation tells us much about the wonder and beauty of our Creator. The psalm moves on to a more specific revelation of God, which is the Word of God. It reminds us of how significant God's Word is in instructing our lives in godliness and living life according to God's will. Let us hear and speak these words and appreciate how much God has chosen to reveal about himself, not only through creation, but also his word. Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You're right, Marguerite, that was wonderful. I'm going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Jesus is going to be asked to be a liturgist. They're going to hand him the scroll of Isaiah and ask him to read. And as I shared with the children, he's then going to let the people know that the promise God has made is going to be, not going to, is a promise that God is keeping. This is a passage that tells us God keeps His word. God does what God has promised. And that's why we can trust the Lord with what He tells us. He proves to be trustworthy. As I read Luke's Gospel from chapter 4, may we have ears to hear, minds to know, and hearts to love what God has to say to us this day. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about Him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was His custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll, and He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him, and then He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one of